Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube.com/1080 The Fan. Good morning. Happy Friday. Football Friday.
It is a Football Friday.
We have a lot to get to. We are going to reintroduce you to something. A good friend of the show is back today.
Yes, it is.
We will go to Penn State.
Let's do it. Big game this weekend.
Big game this weekend. Big game for Oregon fan this weekend out there.
Yeah, I would say so.
Like a on your radar, keeping track of how everything's going.
If Penn State wins that game, it's interesting for a lot of different reasons.
So we will we'll go to Penn State coming up here in the second hour of the show. It is a Sprague and Line Friday, so get the Sprague and Line sponsors in at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. You can also put them into the YouTube chat. Good morning, YouTube.
Hello.
I still think, and I will rest on this, that this is elderly abuse for Bill Belichick. If you're just tuning in, we talked about his awkward Halloween photo. Dirt disagrees with that. I'm not shocked at all. We have a lot to get to in the second
hour.
That was
a thick pick!
Yeah, it was. A lot to get to. I want to talk a little bit about the Oregon-Michigan game this weekend. Your Ducks are going on the road to Ann Arbor.
To the Big House.
It's very weird how football every year reminds us not to look at a schedule and go, oh, it's a good game. Oh, that's a crappy game. Oh, that's a good game. Because you just don't know.
No.
Michigan is down. Harbaugh is gone. They're restarting, and they're not having a very good season, according to them. They won the Big Ten last year. They won the national championship. Oregon is going to Michigan, and I don't give Michigan much of a chance because of their offense. I don't think they have a quarterback. I think they're going to rotate those guys. I think when one guy comes in, it's fairly obvious what they're going to do. But if Michigan has a chance, it's going to be on one side of the football. And I actually think this is the interesting part of this game. I think Oregon going to Michigan, even if they end up winning by double digits, I think this is a great thing for your offense. I think if you want anything to take away from Oregon-Michigan, and we'll see what happens. Maybe Michigan will upset the Ducks this weekend, and I don't see it coming. I think it's going to be, the playoff is just a few weeks out. It's not that far. We were looking at the schedule before the show today.
Yeah, we're about 6 weeks away from the playoffs beginning.
December's a weird month in our industry. A lot of people take a lot of days off in December, but now with the playoff, it changes that. At least for us, it does as a show. And so we're ramping up to that, and I'm just sitting here looking at college football, and I'm thinking, Oregon could get really tested offensively this weekend. Michigan's got NFL dudes all over. Will Johnson may play. Which I would argue for Oregon, you want him to play because you want to be tested as much as possible going into a playoff.
Yeah.
And so that's the angle for me. Oregon's offense against Michigan's defense, which has a bunch of really stout defensive linemen, good secondary players. It's been the strength of their team. It's a, hey, this gets you ready for the other elite programs that you aren't going to play in the regular season that you may see come playoff time.
The irony in all of this, because you're not wrong, that is the only matchup that matters. And the whole idea of Oregon maybe losing this game, I just have a hard time wrapping my head around it because of how bad Michigan's offense is. They beat Michigan State last week 24-17. It was a back-and-forth game. Could have gone either way. You know how many total yards Michigan had in that game?
Wasn't very good.
265. They are the bottom passing offense in the Big Ten, and there are a lot of bad offenses in the Big Ten. In total offense, I think they're third to last, maybe ahead of only UCLA and Northwestern. It's one of the worst offenses in the country. They can't score or move the ball on literally anybody, and Oregon's bringing a great defense to the table, in my mind, who maybe has Jordan Burch back this weekend. So
they are third to last behind,
third to last,
ahead of UCLA and Northwestern.
And those are really bad football teams. So that's the hard part I have with even envisioning this game being an upset. If you tell me it's close and uncomfortable because of the Michigan defense, I guess I could see that in theory. The interesting part about that, though, behind the scenes when you dive into the numbers, is Michigan's defense numbers-wise isn't even that good.
Well, how much of that? Yeah, I looked
They're
at this
11th
last night.
In the Big Ten, yes, in total defense. Yep. Rush defense isn't terrible. Their pass defense has not been good at all this year. Mm-hmm. And when you look at their schedule, they did have the early game against Texas. Outside of that, how many elite offenses have they played?
So I want to get to a cut from landing on it, but I think you're bringing up a good point because I looked at this too, and we know they have NFL guys. We talked to Matt Miller this week, and he was like, hey, when you go look at his mock for 2025,
they got some 50, good defensive linemen, and Will Johnson's a stud.
They've got like 4 to 5 guys in the top 35 of his mock. One of them wasn't on the actual list, but he added it late. What I think is interesting is the metrics may not represent what the defense is. And let me explain that. We have seen, I think we've both seen this with our teams. I think we've seen it in football, pro and college. How much a defense is impacted when the offense constantly sucks.
Oh, you're not wrong at all.
Three and out.
Yeah.
Bro, we're gassed. Give us a break. Nope. Three and out. Get back on there.
I mean, look at their Illinois game where they gave up 21 points, but some of those came off turnovers. Their defense was outstanding against Illinois. Their offense was horrendous.
Here is Dan Lanning from his press conference on the Michigan defensive line.
Yeah, you watch them. They're game wreckers, right? They're guys that you have to have a game plan for. But 78-55 both, they make an impact, you know, consistently in the game. They beat, you know, single blocks. They're certainly good against double teams. They're good against the run and the pass. So they're guys that you have to spend time and effort for. And, you know, anytime you have guys like that up front, it makes it easier to cover in the back end.
And so what I would say to you, Dirt, is you might be right. That Michigan defense is kind of run-of-the-mill statistically. It could prove to be that on Saturday. We did big pee-pee picks. I took Oregon to cover the number. This isn't about me basically saying they can't score or this gonna. I think it's just about taking on as many tests as you possibly can.
Yeah.
You don't want... Like Illinois, this is an example. I didn't really buy Illinois as a legit threat. I didn't buy Purdue whatsoever. I don't buy Michigan, but you want as many tests as you possibly can get. They've got Maryland looming. They're going to steam. They're going to win that game without having to try.
Yeah, you won't learn anything about Oregon next week.
Right. So, like, to me, it's just about being tested. I think you can make a real argument that in the SEC, which I think is the stronger conference, a lot of these teams we say are fringe playoff teams or playoff teams, they're getting tested every other week. And I think that's kind of the point, is you want to be as tested as possible. Why did Oregon win Ohio State? Well, you could point to, well, this flag was thrown against the Buckeyes, or this thing happened for Oregon. Whatever you want to say, I would argue that an underrated point of that was that Oregon was tested early, and they didn't feel maybe as much of the pressure in the closing minutes. You can argue against that, and I wouldn't say you're wrong necessarily. Mm-hmm. I just think it's important to be tested. And so while the metrics may not be in Michigan's favor defensively, I think this is good for Oregon. If you're an Oregon fan and you're looking at potential playoff matchups, what are strengths of some of those teams? Well, Michigan's got a little bit of those strengths, yeah. And that's what you want to see your team go against.
Yeah, and I think it's about just maintaining the momentum that you've built the last couple of weeks, the direction that you've gone, and how consistently that you have played. They haven't done anything to hurt themselves now in quite some time. Outside of Gabriel having kind of a funky or clunky turnover occasionally, he'll airmail a ball or he'll throw one into double coverage. It makes you kind of go, hey, what were you seeing there? But for the most part in games, he has been relatively consistent and playing at a very high level. There are times the last couple of weeks that it just feels like Oregon's almost on cruise control, just the way that they're playing. They're getting up big in the first half. They're kind of separating themselves. You're playing a lot of depth guys in the second half, and you're giving guys a breathers and being on pitch counts and all that. I'm with you on the overall challenge of the individual players that Michigan has, and I think it'll be a great test for some of these guys, and some of them even acknowledge it this week about this is great for NFL draft stock. They interviewed a couple of Oregon offensive linemen this week, and that's what they said. Like, this can tank or help your draft stock tremendously. The unique thing about Michigan is the overall numbers aren't great. I think it's going to be more about individual matchups. Like, I think Michigan has three or four elite players on that defense.
They do.
But they're not playing as a collective elite group, and so there's a difference there. But what you do get from time to time is one defensive lineman can make a play, slip a block, and make a tackle for loss, and now it's 3rd and 11 instead of 2nd and 5. And those kind of things can have an impact on the outcome of the game. Will Johnson, look back to the USC game for him earlier this year. His pick six might have been the difference in that game. They won a game by a field goal.
I think it was, actually.
He had a pick six. It kind of swung the momentum in Michigan's favor. Like, oh my God, Michigan's going to win this game. So you've had guys that can make individual plays. They don't collectively play together as an elite defense, and I don't think they've faced a lot of elite offenses this year, really outside of Texas. And Texas went in there and shredded them. The hard part, ultimately, that I have on the other side of the ball, that I don't know if Oregon's defense is going to get tested to that level the rest of the year. I see your argument completely on Oregon's offense, the offensive line, pushing them up front. If you come out and you execute a high level and you're able to go into Michigan and hang 40 on that defense, that's something that nobody's done all year. Their highest point total they've given up all season, I believe, is the 31 that they gave up to Texas when they lost in week two. The tough part for them on the other side of the ball is I look at the rest of the offenses that are on your schedule, including this weekend, and this maybe is the worst offense you're going to play the rest of the year, and you're just not going to get tested on the defensive side of the ball by an elite offense.
I agree with that. We know they've been tested. I think that's kind of
the Ohio State game was their test.
Yeah, and like both sides got tested in that game because Ohio State's defense came in with a good reputation, and Ohio State's offense came in with like, oh, like, can they move the ball? Can they score 40 points on Oregon? They've been tested, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be tested or that's not important. It absolutely is, but I'll go back to something that when I was on our show Twitter account during the Boise State game, we follow a lot of Duck fans, and we love those Duck fans if they listen to the show. I saw what you tweeted. A lot of you were giving up on the season despite the game still happening. You were like, nope. They don't got it. Nope, disappointing. Nope, they're bums. Oh, they're overrated. Here's the Ducks. Yep, disappointing. And they've done what since?
Steamrolled everybody. Okay. Other than Ohio State, but that you don't steamroll them.
But part of the problem for those first 2 weeks, what was the most glaring problem?
It was your offensive line.
Okay, and everybody has felt great about the offensive line largely since that point, and I think that's kind of my point. It's hard for me, just as a sports football fan who watches this stuff a lot, I honestly don't know what that path is for Michigan to win. It's not that it's completely impossible.
I mean, their defense has to dominate the game. Their offense is horrendous.
Their defense
and
has
it will
to
be horrendous on tomorrow.
Turnovers, they got to get a score. Their special teams has to get a score.
That's the only way that they can win.
Yes. And so, like, the percentage to me is not very high. But if I am watching this at all, and you have those yellow and green colored glasses, you want to see your offensive line continue to look the part. Matt Miller talked about this for the opposite side. He said, this is huge for these defensive guys as NFL stock. And you just pointed out, what are the offensive line saying? This is big for us.
Yeah.
Connerly has a great reputation right now. Your offensive line has largely gone with this streak of, no, we have figured this out. Everybody comment, Bedford, who's that? I think this is what it's for. You may win 45-14 this weekend, or 10, or it may be a blowout. But you still want to go out of that game dirt with, hey, the offensive line pushed those big uglies, or they gave Gabriel that passing protection. And that's kind of what you have to look for against some of these teams that most of us would agree they're a little down this year.
Well, the other aspect, too, to keep in mind, I brought it up a little bit yesterday for those who don't follow the backup offensive line position very closely for Oregon. Dave Lulley being back is a big deal. He was the guy that came into the year as somebody they thought had a chance to be a starting guard for them. He got hurt in training camp. He was part of the reason him being out was why the offensive line was so bad the first 2 weeks. They settled it when Strother come back, and the rest has kind of been history. Him being back and available and a part of the rotation potentially this weekend is massive, because if somebody does go down, you needed another body there. And I don't know what the situation is on Bedford, to your original point. He's probably out for the year at this point. I've just kind of given up on that idea of him playing. Maybe he's back at some point, but Lulley being back is a very big deal. I think the other part of this game, too, and not that other teams like Washington beat Michigan, for heaven's sakes, earlier this year, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think it's more so about, for Oregon, winning this game and looking impressive doing it. It's more just the symbolism of it. This is your first year in this conference. There are two teams that have dominated the Big Ten for God knows how long, and they are Michigan and Ohio State. Not a lot of conference champions outside of those two. You know, Wisconsin a random year, Michigan State a random year. It has largely been dominated by Michigan and Ohio State, especially as of late. And you coming in and beating Ohio State and then beating Michigan in the Big House, I'm not surprised that they're going to do it, because Michigan, I don't think, is a very good football team this year, and their offense is horrendous. It's just about the message, I think, and the symbolism that it sends in recruiting primarily to say, look at that. These are your two big dogs, came in year one. Not a big deal at all. We're the new big dog of this conference.
Grant, Graham, and Stewart, the three names for Michigan's defensive line that you need to pay attention to in case you're looking for one. We'll see how Oregon does against those big uglies up front in Ann Arbor. One thought on Michigan that I want to carry over, and then a look ahead to one of those big matchups this week in Dirt and Sprague. Back with more on The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I put a picture of Belichick hooking his mermaid girlfriend, who's 24 years old, and said, is this a sign that Belichick will never coach again? Ryan says, I think he's coaching in a different way now, boys. Yeah, well, there's that.
I love that story.
We will go to Penn State coming up here.
He's on
to Cincinnati. I'm on to Cincinnati.
Real quick on Michigan, Oregon, that I think we've kind of exhausted what that game is. Again, I understand it's an iconic brand, a blue blood versus maybe a new age blue blood. Ann Arbor,
Selling point is the wing helmet. That is it for this game.
I know. I also wanted to be fair. Like, I don't think this is going to be much of a game, but this is the one area that, like, somebody watching this team and talking about this team a lot, that's the area I've circled all week, is like what that matchup is, how those guys handle those guys. Real quick, it's hard because this team was completely restarting. Harbaugh just left it bare bones to a certain extent. I know they got some NFL guys, but what have we made of Sherrone Moore?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those in year one, you don't want to be too critical considering what they lost.
He's an offensive guy.
Yeah, is he? they're going
He's
after...
He's their OC. He was their OC last year. He coached them.
They're going after the number one recruit in the country, who is Bryce Underwood. I don't know if he's going to be at this game. He's currently an LSU commit. Like that.
He's eyeing Oregon, though, too, isn't he? The five-star
quarterback? I don't think so. I don't think Underwood's looking at Oregon.
Am I thinking about a different kid?
You're thinking about maybe the 2026 kid, the Jared Curtis kid. That kid's looking at Oregon. This kid has been committed to LSU for a while. Michigan's trying to steal him. Dave Portnoy of Barstool has already offered like $4 million to pay him an NIL deal and to basically give him an internship with Barstool Sports. Like, that's what we're doing now.
I would do the same thing if I was Portnoy.
Oh, I'd do it in a heartbeat, man. You do it in a heartbeat, right? So there's a big financial offer. This kid's likely going to get $4.5 million. Maybe Michigan ends up being the big biller, although there's a lot of big money down in Louisiana. That's what you need. Like, you always want to be careful. It's 1 year in. They lost a ton. They lost most of their staff, most of their good players.
I know.
I'm not going to throw anybody out, but when you're at a place like Michigan, it's going to kick up very soon. You give them a freebie in year one. All right, you go 7-5, which they probably should do this year. Mm-hmm. They'd be, what, 5-4 with a loss this weekend if they lose. You got you got at Indiana and at Ohio State left. So
you're losing Ohio State. Ohio State will beat you this year.
Indiana probably will, too.
Indiana certainly has the horses to do it based on what we've seen.
If you lose this weekend, you're staring at a win over Northwestern to get to 6-6 and get to a bowl game. Next year, what do you look like? That's when we'll decide what Sharon Moore is. But in the overall picture for Oregon, really good timing to come into the conference. Thank you, Jim Harbaugh, because Michigan has been one of the best teams in college football now for 3 or 4 years. They clearly are not that anymore.
How much is Penn State, Ohio State on the radar for you?
Dude, it's massive, man. Tiebreaker scenarios for the Big Ten championship game, the pressure cooker for both coaches. Like, if Penn State is to win that game, it's unique in a couple of regards. One, you like it because maybe you wouldn't have to play Ohio State again in the Big Ten title game. But the other part of that is there's a scenario out there in which you're left out of the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I know. I think we did that yesterday, and I don't know how real that is. But
I don't either.
It's looming.
That is a scenario because I think one of the tiebreakers after head-to-head wins, which would not exist for Penn State, Indiana, and Oregon. This is assuming Indiana wins out, and Penn State wins out, and Oregon wins out. Would be common opponent point differential, and I don't know how many common opponents they all have throughout the course of the season. One of them I do know would be Ohio State. Oregon beat Ohio State by 1 point.
I just don't know. I think the tough thing is, and I've never been a big – I actually actively root against Penn State, but like I also – I've always said they're in that in-between. I don't think I know enough about Penn State, and I've seen them play, to truly say, yeah, Ohio State, they're struggling. They're down a little bit more than we thought. They can win. I don't know if that's true. But I am kind of going into the game with the idea that they could.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've done that since they last beat Ohio State, which was 2016.
It's been a while.
I think of those 7 matchups now going into 8, I think I have legitimately told myself Penn State can win this weekend 3 times.
I've done it too.
And I think in those 3 times, they have lost and lost not close.
Yeah, I did it last year for the Michigan game, and the Michigan ran the ball 74 straight times in the second half. Didn't even have to attempt a pass, and they body bagged him at the line of scrimmage.
And so I'm struggling sitting here as somebody who loves these big-time matchups. I know the atmosphere is going to be electric. Both the pregame shows are going to be... McAfee will be screaming shirtless in Pennsylvania this weekend. But was that a look-ahead spot for Ohio State last week at home against Nebraska? Or is that Ohio State now? Because
they're a hard team to figure out.
If that's Ohio State now, I would almost argue, would you rather play Ohio State again in the Big Ten title game?
Yeah.
Because their offensive line looked like dog crap. They've lost both their left tackles.
Yeah, and the backup guy who it looks like he's not going to play this weekend.
And then also on the other side, Penn State's backup quarterback played significantly better than Aller did. They scored with that kid. So is he better than Drew Aller? I don't know how to gauge this game. Where am I? I feel like I'm lost in that
matchup. That's why it is exciting, though, for me tomorrow morning, because I genuinely don't know where it's going to go. I'm going to pick Ohio State to win the game just because, you know, history needs to matter, and James Franklin's lost like 800 of these in a row.
100%.
And to your point, I have done this to myself multiple times at Penn State of like, I think this is the one they're going to, and then they disappoint you every time. And so I'm not picking Penn State to win a big game ever again until I see it.
The bigger question as you watch this game, are these the third and fourth best teams in the country?
I don't feel like Ohio State,
because that's what they're ranked
for.
How many
teams would you, right now, if I told you, let's not talk Vegas stuff, just straight up, how many teams would you pick to beat Ohio State on a neutral field right now, honestly?
Oregon.
Okay. Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah. Texas.
Yeah.
I'd take Texas.
Texas. Yeah.
You seem hesitant there.
I mean, Texas has played. I would take Texas.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm getting further than that.
Can the Buckeyes, and I'm asking sincerely, I understand what you're going to counter with. Can the Buckeyes keep up with Miami?
Yes, I think they can.
Okay.
I do.
Because that Miami's
defense is horrendous.
I'm acknowledging that.
And Jeremiah Smith would eat them alive. Even with their bad offensive line, he would eat like
that. He ate Oregon alive.
He did. He had a good game.
He's pretty good.
That's the hard part this year, and it kind of goes to a point you brought up a few times of just it's a weird year where there's not a lot of elite teams. Everybody's kind of got their flaws. And so to Swag's point, maybe these aren't the third or fourth best teams, but good luck picking out who the third and fourth best teams are. That's the beauty of the sport this year. I just, for the sheer unknown nature of it, I can't wait to watch this game.
To be fair, Last year, I didn't give them any chance, and that was right. They won 20-12, but that didn't feel like 20-12 if you watched it.
No.
The year before is the year I thought Penn State could maybe hang.
That was the JT Tuimoloau game.
They lost 44-31. Yeah, but that was a those were late scores.
Late
scores. That.
He took over the game in the third and fourth quarter.
And, you know, I'm just trying to be fair here. In 2020, which was COVID, okay, let's not count that. 2019, they won 28-17.
Yeah, they've had cracks at it.
2018, they won 27-26, and the year in 2017, they won 39-38.
Yeah, they've had a lot of cracks at it.
So Penn State's been knocking on that door more than I guess my memory had it.
Yeah, they've been close, but how many close losses can you handle before it's just that's who you are? Like, close losses are great one or two times, and then when there's a third one, and then a fourth one, and then a fifth one. The other irony of all this is that if Ohio State loses this weekend, we'll see how the rest of the year goes. Like, there's legitimately a chance that Ryan Day gets fired. I genuinely believe that.
I disagreed with your take before the year. You're going to end up looking like where dirt was right.
Like, I don't even know if they lose another game, but if that's who you are, you can't beat Oregon, you can't beat Penn State, you're not going to be in the Big Ten title game if you lose this weekend because you'd be two games behind Oregon and Penn State. You would have to go on a magical run in the playoffs in order to save your job at that point. This is a title or bust year for Ohio State.
Yeah, but if Ryan Day, even with an injury, he's talking to a booster who's about to fire him. Well, you know.
Jaren Sagapotule, well, whatever, you know.
What's your excuse there, Ryan?
Got no excuse there. Imagine saying in August that they might not play in the Big Ten title game.
I would.
Because if they lose this weekend, they will not play in the Big Ten title game.
I think I asked this to somebody. Who was it? It might have been Pate. I all year, even before the injuries, I thought that Chip offense would look good. It just looked clunky.
I just think their offensive line is not, that is the weakness of their team, and it has been proven to be right.
And nobody, I thought, said that going into the year to this
extent. There were a few people. I remember Colin Wilson was one of the guys. I remember playing a clip of his in August where he picked Oregon to win the Big Ten and used Ohio State's offensive line as the prime example.
Yeah.
I remember playing that when he picked it. And Will Howard has not, their passing attack has not been explosive despite the weapons that they have.
Yeah.
They've had moments where they've been good. They've been good in spurts, but not consistent. Consistently good.
I don't think there's actual reporting on this. We're going to go to Penn State here in a second. I think overall it's a credit to Dan Lanning here. And what I mean by that is there's real intel that they wanted Gabriel more than Howard, and they thought they were going to get him. And then the minute they found out he wanted to go be a Duck because of Mariota, and
they got to pivot.
Oregon probably took care of him. They had to pivot, and they pivoted to Will Howard, who's not been awful.
No,
but I think certainly you can see he's not the most spectacular.
Yeah, that's not a huge upgrade from where you were last
year. And so that helps. It kind of hurts the offense and is why they've maybe struggled a little bit. Let's go to Penn State and see, does the Nittany Lions have a chance here? A special thing is back in our lives here on this radio program, and you hear it next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing since 1996. Your local coastal brewery, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Football Friday. That's right, brought to you by our good friends at Pelican Brewing once again.
Welcome back, Pelican.
Tastes so good on a Friday. Now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise your glass and drink on Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Let's go to the big game in college football this weekend that I know Oregon fans will have their eye on to see how it shakes out in the Big Ten standings. And Penn State is hosting Ohio State. Neil Rudel is joining us now, covering Penn State for a long time. Altoona Mir, Nitwits team. TV at Neil Rudel on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Neil, good morning to you, man. What's the vibe and the feeling going into this game for Penn State, where they have lost so many of these, a lot of them by close margins for a long time, now feeling like maybe there's a bit of a vulnerable Ohio State team coming to town this weekend?
Yeah, I think that captures it. Definitely the clock is ticking on, James Franklin winning this game, winning a big game. He's really struggled. He's done a lot of things very well at Penn State. Most people know their last dozen year history. I mean, they've been through a lot, but he just has not been able to beat Ohio State certainly consistently. He has one win over them. It came on a blocked field goal that was returned for a touch. touchdown. And just, you know, having a seat at that table of a semi-equal partner to them in Michigan, he's 4-16 against those two teams. And those are the teams that he's kind of paid to beat. So it's a big game for him. But the fact that there's a 12-team playoff should benefit them. I mean, barring an upset later on, they probably are in the field of 12. So it's a little different that way than past years.
Neil, how did it land this week? He had a weird thing where the SID came out, he stood behind a screen, and then he came out, and a question was asked about players not on the team. He didn't say a word. He walked away. The SID came back out, and then he came out and pretended he hadn't been out there already. We talked about it. I thought it was a weird, bad look. Like, just say no comment yourself. I don't understand the SID part. How did that land for people this week?
Okay. Well, that was last week.
Last week. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. Not well handled. He's the face of the program. There were two kids that were dismissed on a rape charge over the summer, and when the charges came out the next day is when that little mini scrum takes place on a Wednesday. When he was asked about it, he just deferred to the statement. The statement had already been read, but he stepped away from the microphone. The assistant SID came back out and read the statement again. It was very awkward, uncomfortable. James apologized then for his mishandling it after the Wisconsin game about 3 days later, but not a good look.
On the Franklin note here, not just with that, but the Ohio State stuff that you mentioned, where are Penn State fans on Franklin? Because we've always noted out here, just observing and watching them, they feel like they're stuck in this college football purgatory. Maybe the 12-team playoff will change this for them, but like, they've had their struggles with Michigan, Ohio State over the years, but they beat everybody else in that conference. They're kind of stuck in this weird tier by themselves. Where are fans at on Franklin?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're overly sold on him. You know, the former AD and president kind of rushed out and gave him a long extension right before both of them left. And this would take him through 31. And there didn't seem to be any, where was the fire? I think people felt like, and hey, let's face it, but you know, the majority of the fan base certainly dates back to the Paterno era where he was very modestly paid. And, you know, it's a different climate now in college football, for sure. James is way different than Joe was. James is, you know, more of a player coach. He's, you know, chest bumping these kids after they score touchdowns. And, you know, I mean, like I said, he's done a lot of things well. He's beaten most of the teams he's supposed to beat, but he hasn't been competitive enough. And they've blown leads against Ohio State. If you look at their NFL roster, the number of guys that they're producing these last, they're recruiting great talent. They're developing. These guys go to the combine and do well. But it just doesn't seem like that's matched their performance. Their talent hasn't matched their performance in the biggest games.
Interesting. We're talking with Neil Rudel. He covers Penn State for the Altoona Mirror, Nitwits TV. One of the things I know is a big question mark going into this game is the quarterback position. Drew Aller, such a highly respected recruit coming in. He's had his moments. He's looked good at times. Struggled a little bit in the big games for them last year. He goes down. I don't know what the reporting has been this week. What do we know about that? And the backup who came in, I'll lean on you for the pronunciation there, but he played awesome in the second half in a tough environment on the road. They outscore Wisconsin 21-3, I believe, in the second half of that game and pull away with a win. What do we know about the quarterback position tomorrow?
Well, there was an open window on Wednesday. Drew Aller did take part in most of the drills, at least that we saw. He was wearing long sweatpants, so you couldn't tell whether he had a brace on. My guess is he probably did. But he, you know, he did some of the ball security drills where they were rolling on mats. He did some light jogging and throwing. Questionable. Franklin's pretty coy about the injuries, especially with two different style of quarterbacks. Aller is the drop back passer, and Prabula, he did well. He's more of a runner. I don't know that they can win this game if Aller doesn't play. I mean, he's projected as an NFL draft pick, whether that would be this year or next. I think they're going to need him, and I would guess that he'd make every effort to give it a go if at all possible.
What's your observations from what you've seen from Ohio State? They have not, I don't think at any one point, I know they have some blowout wins on that schedule, but they've looked funky along the way. They lost out here against Oregon. They struggled to win last weekend against Nebraska. What is just your observation or thoughts on Ohio State this year?
Yeah, they've had some injuries. I agree. I watched last game with Nebraska. I don't want to say they were fortunate to win, but they had to come from behind at home to win that game. And it looked to me like, hey, I'm watching that game saying, hey, Penn State can beat this team. Ohio State is showing they're beatable. They have some injuries on their offensive line. Now, hey, they got tremendous skill players and have for many years. That Oregon game was a terrific showcase a couple weeks ago. And, you know, one of the threads of Penn State and Ohio State, just blown leads, and not being able to cover Ohio State's great receivers or get to the quarterback well enough. Those will be keys tomorrow.
Interesting. Two-parter for you to get you out of here, Neil. Are fans bummed that this is an earlier kick time? I was hoping it was going to be a whiteout game, so I'm curious what the reaction has been to that. And then do they get it done? It feels like Ohio State's vulnerable. Do you think Penn State pulls it off tomorrow?
Well, you know, he's trying to limit all the distractions he can, and he was asked about the noon kickoff. They clearly wanted this game to be the whiteout at night, where they would have everything going for them in terms of atmosphere. But he doesn't want any excuses. He doesn't want any negativity, and he said that, hey, this is the greatest atmosphere to play a noon game against Ohio State in Happy Valley. So, you know, I think that, hey, they'll probably set an attendance record tomorrow. And this is really the last time Ohio State's coming in here till 28 because of the new scheduling arrangements. So, you know, I got to see him. He's got to prove it. He's got to prove that they can beat them. I think they do have the talent, but the quarterback is the question. And I did pick Ohio State, but I see a real close game.
Wow, what a turn of the heel there.
I love that. That was set that up. Yeah, I'm sure fans are happy with you, but we tend to agree with you. One of those, we got to see it and see the outcome, and we'll be big believers. Can't wait till Oregon makes a trip out there. What an atmosphere. It should be tomorrow, despite it being a noon kick.
I'm stunned. I thought he was going to go full homer there and take Penn State.
That was great. Neil Rudel, he covers Penn State for a long time. Altoona Mirror, Nitwits TV, at Neil Rudel on Twitter. We'll give him a follow. Enjoy the atmosphere. Enjoy the game, and I'm sure we'll be catching up again here soon.
Hey, thanks. That was a good show, fellas.
Yeah, thank you. Neil Rudel. Good stuff from him.
Show's still going on there, Neil.
That's actually it. I'm gone. I'll see you guys later. Have a great weekend.
Going on now.
All right. Wrap it up. See you later.
I thought for sure he was going to, oh, they could do it. Ohio State's not very good this year.
I was a very honest reporter for the team.
It was a very honest reporter.
You know, they kind of need to do it. And, you know, he can't beat the big teams. And it was a bad look by Franklin a week ago.
I'm glad he apologized. I didn't see that. So
he
that
did
was
after the game, I think. After they beat Wisconsin.
Good.
I think I saw that in the post game where he's like, I handled that poorly.
Yes, and you did.
Yes, you did, James. Yeah. Thank you. Let's take a look at the rest of the weekend in the world of college football. I'm going to do that next. Do we have chaos upon us for the second time this year? Do we see any upsets out there? The Daily Ticker is once again brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing, now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise a glass and drink on Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Take a look at the weekend in college football. We'll do that next on 1080 The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online, crunch.com. We'll spread the line coming up at 8:30. Get your fake sponsors in. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326 or on the YouTube chat. We will do some gambling and see how much money we're going to lose you or what you want to fade coming up at 8:30.
A correction. It's Rudel.
Yeah, I said his last name wrong. Now I feel terrible.
Well, he's got extended family out here, so they're listening. We apologize.
We do.
I told him, Neil,
Correct me next time. Just do it. We don't care.
Hey, dumbass. This is how you say my last name. All right. Sorry,
he corrected me on the Franklin stuff.
He did.
That was last week. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Thank you, Neil. Thank you for that.
So.
And this one is a good idea, and I hate to admit it because it's probably going to be me paying the punishment. The recreation of the Belichick picture between the second and third place people in Sprague and Line is maybe what we do for the Sprague and Line.
Reeling in a fish, that's our Sprague
Justin
and Line
says
punishment.
The recreation of this photo, third place should be in a mermaid costume as second place is hooking third place.
Or would first place hook third place? Or is first place just to get to abstain from being involved in any
of this? First place gets to not be involved.
Not to be involved, not have to show up on the bank of the Willamette.
Ever want to make fun of one of us on social media.
Okay, that's fair. Before I get to this weekend slate in college football.
Imagine Swag as a mermaid.
That'd be delightful. I mean, right now, I'm in last place. I don't know how I feel about this idea.
Oh, this season is young, my friend.
We got a long ways
to
go.
We can all suck.
I'm going to ask you a fun trivia question. Do you know what Ohio State, Miami, Texas, Clemson, Iowa State, Indiana, Pitt, Ole Miss, and SMU have in common?
They're all alive in the playoff.
That is true. There's one other note.
They're not playing this weekend?
No, they all are playing this. Actually, I don't know if they're all playing this
weekend. I don't
know.
Some of them are.
They have 0 wins over teams currently ranked in the top 25.
Well, it's not a ranking that actually matters.
No, so it doesn't.
Playoff rankings come
out. We don't get that until next Tuesday. None of them have a win over a team ranked in the top 25 currently. Some of them have beaten teams at the time that were ranked in the top 25.
Yes.
Texas, Michigan, you go through the list. They've had those kind of wins. It is interesting when you look around the slate of college football this weekend where so much of it still seems up in the air. Yet this weekend, I think, has the ability to eliminate some teams with bad performances.
Well, there's some upset potential blooming on this schedule this weekend.
All over the slate. I'll just throw one at you right out of the gate. Ole Miss on the road at Arkansas. Boom, right there. Ole Miss last weekend struggling with Oklahoma. Like, how is that? Oklahoma hasn't been moved the ball on anybody. Arkansas has already pulled off an upset. I know we thought maybe LSU could do it a week or two ago. Ole Miss loses this weekend. I would argue they should already be out of the playoff because they're in this. They have 2 losses, and they don't have a win over a team currently ranked in the top 25. They lose this weekend. They're absolutely eliminated. A lot of those opportunities is, hell, even Texas Tech and Iowa State. I love my Cyclones. Let's not act like Iowa State's been a juggernaut running away from everybody. Texas Tech's been feisty. It seems like this is a chance for some major upsets this weekend.
Yeah, I think I'm going to push back a little bit on Ole Miss.
Okay.
I thought Kiffin, based on the noise and reading of the experience in the portal, I thought they had it. Like, this was a team that Nick Saban said he thought legitimately could win the SEC because of the trenches they had improved in.
Added Walter Nolan, a guy that I desperately wanted in the portal.
Yeah, and I have not seen it from them at all. That Kentucky win was shocking and puzzling, and you can say, well, it was a weird bounce. Yeah, they still lost.
Still lost.
And last weekend, I watched a lot of that Oklahoma game. They were in a dogfight. Maybe they will blow out Arkansas. I cannot understand why Ole Miss would be in a playoff conversation. This is... We need to get past this. This is the SEC bias that's looming.
This is also the problem with the 12-team playoff.
Is Colorado involved in any of your playoff conversations? No.
They should be because they have a chance to win the Big 12, technically.
Oh, okay, but they're not because of what? Their conference.
They're the Big 12.
Why is Ole Miss in? Who have they beaten?
I've just told you. They haven't beaten a team in the top 25.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's see, what is Ole Miss' best win on the year? Their best win on the year?
South Carolina.
27-3 at South Carolina. That's their best win of the year.
And Arkansas is 5-3 going into Arkansas. Like, I just, even if they win this weekend, I don't look at Ole Miss and say playoff team. And I know they're looming, and I know the committee's going to be putting them on the radar.
No.
I cannot wait to see the first rankings, because if we don't largely have a lot of upsets happen this week, what are we? We're a week out from the ranking, aren't we?
They come out on Tuesday.
Tuesday
night, our first rankings.
If we don't have massive upset chaos this weekend, we're going to get a feel of who's going to get screwed and who is going to get the bias confirmation here. Ole Miss, to me, is not a playoff team.
Tend to agree with you there.
It'll be, I'm very curious to see the committee, what they reward more. Who you beat, who you lost to. You know, it's really going to be curious starting around 7-8.
Well, and how do you handle these undefeated teams from, to Sprague's point, these conferences that aren't the Big Ten or the SEC?
Pittsburgh wins again this weekend.
You have Pittsburgh undefeated. You have Iowa State undefeated. Yeah. You have BYU undefeated. Yeah. Like, you got to. Iowa State's outside the top 10 right now.
By
They're
the way,
7-0.
Army,
also undefeated.
Army's still undefeated.
And they're going to beat Air Force this weekend.
They will beat Air. They're going to lose to Notre Dame. I think after what we saw last week, an Army will lose to Notre Dame.
Maybe,
but
yeah.
To your point, they are still undefeated.
And it's always curious, 20 through 25, who they slide in there and how that affects.
To give a quality win in the back end. Because if Arkansas wins this weekend, to the funny note of that, like 6-3, you shocked it all Tuesday if Arkansas finds their way to 24 in the back end of that poll?
Look, there is a reason we worked very hard this summer. We wanted Josh Pate on weekly. We've wanted him on weekly for years. Oregon goes to the Big Ten. It makes it easier. I don't say this to like be hot take. I'm legitimately saying he is, even though he does do, I think, an exceptional job covering the sport for what you're expected to do.
Yeah.
You are leaning into your Southern SEC bias by telling me legitimately with a straight face that a team that is 2-2 in conference play is in this playoff while dismissing other teams that have one loss or no losses in their conference play.
Totally a fair argument. Totally a fair argument. Let me throw a couple at you. Actually, let's carry this over a little bit to the final hour. I want to throw a couple of games at you. Let's gauge our panic meter. We'll get to our NFL pressure cooker as well.
We're not getting to our Blazers Thunder big matchup tonight. I got a bet on this game.
You got a bet on this game?
My brother-in-law bet me straight up.
How terrified are you if they win this game?
What am I terrified of?
3-3. There goes Cooper Flagg. Bye-bye.
How good does Scoot, Tumani, and everybody else play?
That's right.
Are
we're
you
gonna
getting
win.
The full plus 455 on the money line for
we're
this?
We're doing a 10-2 ratio. He pays me $2. I pay him 10.
If the Blazers win?
If the Blazers win, I pay him 10. If the Thunder win, I get 2.
Wow.
Oh, okay, you're on the Thunder.
You're on the Thunder, yeah.
Have you seen the Thunder play at all?
I thought you had it the
it
other way.
Good.
No way, dude. Okay. He will go to his grave thinking every Blazer team is going to win the championship.
Thunder is minus 625.
Yeah, $5 bet on the Blazers to win the title this year.
Why?
Text and ask him. I
why? That's just fine. Oh, you give me the $5.
His two worst takes as a person, and we talk about things all day. His two worst takes as a person: the Blazers will win the championship or have a shot every year.
He definitely hates me on the show then.
And there is never been a bad movie made. You can throw any movie.
Any
at this
movie,
guy.
He'll argue it's a good movie or a redeeming quality.
Cowboys and Aliens with him years ago.
Terrible movie.
He fell asleep 70% of the movie. I watched the whole thing. Woke up the next day. This is a pretty good movie. It's like you were snoring through half of it.
Put you to sleep. It was so exciting. NFL pressure cooker. I want to dive in a little bit to the Washington-USC matchup, the rest of the college football slate. Where are there upsets? Are there upsets? We'll dive into that. Loaded final hour. Oh, and Sprague and Line coming up at 8:30, so get those fake sponsors in. 503-864-6326. Loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.